life is you've got a 15 years older brother, Pete, half-brother. Was your home life particularly activist? Because both of you are so activist, was it because of a common home life?
No. For one thing, we never lived in the same home together. He was at boarding school when I was born, and he comes of the first wife. I come of the second wife. Our home was not particularly an activist home. No, no, it wasn't. It was what was called progressive at the time, but it wasn't activist. We didn't go out on marches and go to union meetings and those things, although I learned later that my father had been a member of the Communist Party in the 1935-40 period. I didn't become an activist as such until I met Ewan McCall. That was when I was 20, 21.
Because he was an activist? Because he had that orientation already?
Oh, he was gut politics. If you read into his life, he was brought up really, really poor. And his father was blacklisted practically wherever he worked for trying to get unions into the iron molding factories, into the steel mills. Ewan McCall had politics running down his backbone, every bone in his body.
Well, it sounds like you caught the disease.
Yeah, I did. I did. But I caught it secondhand. I didn't have what I call gut politics, i.e. that it's happened to you. That woman on wheels is gut disability. She has experienced it. The song about the Marine, that was gut what he talked about because it had happened to him. None of this has happened to me. I am, in many cases, speaking for other people, and I'm intellectually interested in it, and I'm angry about it, but it's not something that I have had to put up with my life. The same as the engineer, I was not discriminated against outrageously as a woman. It was more veiled. It was iron fist and velvet glove with me. So my activism is imposed, if you like, on a fairly comfortable lifestyle.
What background did you have religious, spiritually in your house?
We had music. We had music and folk songs and talk. We didn't have radio. We didn't have television. I went to church once in my youth. One of them was Sunday school, and then I went to a Quaker meeting, and I was totally baffled by it. People sitting in silence. I was 15, 16, you know. But I felt no need of it. And now, when you talk about religion, to me, walking out into a blue sky and the cherry trees out, that's religion. I just find that that's enough. The world is magic. The world is so hugely magic that I would say that the universe is religion. The cherry tree is religion. The little bug crawling along the fence is religion. To me, it's just a magic that I don't understand, and I am part of it. And I can worship without needing to place any deity in charge of it.
It works for me. Beautiful work that you've been doing. It's clearly carried you in ways to help all of creation. And I'm thankful for your witness, Peggy. And I'm thankful that you could join me today for Spirit in Action.
Well, thank you for giving me a long enough time to explain some of what I do, Mark.
It's been a pleasure, Peggy.
Same here.
That was singer-songwriter activist Peggy Seeger. We've got a couple minutes, so we're going to give you a bonus song. Peggy mentioned earlier her song straight from the words of an Iraqi war veteran who up and quit, finding he couldn't be part of the killing anymore, The Ballad of Jimmy Massey. Last song today from Peggy Seeger.
I was born in 71, but you know my folks were far too young. My daddy didn't want his wife, he left and took his son. Tractor trailer was our home, my bed was in the cab. My daddy was the best friend a little boy could ever